Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
What are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless to taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. With me, as always, are some of my very best friends, and LT.
Wow, it's starting early. Drink!
Wow. Drink! LT, my very good friend, how are you today, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing fine. I'm drinking some Johnny Walker's Blender Batch triple grain American oak whiskey, and it is delicious. What are you drinking, Tommy? How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific. Thank you for asking. I just had some Thompson's Water Seal. I have not broken very deep into my reserves of that yet, so I want to make sure I don't touch the good stuff until the apocalypse really, really happens. The trumpets haven't been blown yet. Wait a minute. Trump Pence? Blow the Trump Pence? Is that all that has to happen? Trump and Pence just need to get Hummers?
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Hey, I read the Bible. Shut up. When the Trump Pence get blown, the walls fall. It's in the Bible. Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I don't remember Shaka when the walls fell in the Bible, but that's just me. I am having about as close to a light beer as I can get and still drink beer, and it's a Harpoon Rec League.
Hey, you recommended that to me, and I just drank three of those this afternoon while I was watching a very stupid movie, and they are delicious. It might be like my second favorite beer right now.
All right.
All right. It's a tasty one. Ooh, I like that Blue Beetle shirt, Mike.
Thank you.
And how are you doing, or what are you drinking tonight?
I'm doing great, and I am going to call bullshit on Josh's thing because I'm drinking Michelob Ultra. When you want water that'll get you drunk, Michelob Ultra.
Will it?
Will it?
Yeah, if you drink enough of these, I swear to God you will.
I swear to God. Well, speaking of swearing to God, I just don't know what our topic is this week. I just can't remember. Mikey, why don't you fill in the listeners today about what our topic is this week?
Our topic is Bloodshot. Good old Bloodshot by Valiant Comics. Let me carefully peruse the internet for some background here. But I'll tell you, I have read some Bloodshot comics over the years. And
so let's set the stage, though. It's the early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Shooter has been the editor over at DC Comics and Marvel Comics and has led Marvel Comics to one of their most financially successful periods of all time. But everybody fucking hates Jim Shooter. So he then gets fired from Marvel. Everybody has a celebration, and he starts Valiant Comics because he's the guy who found out that crossovers sell and was demanding a crossover every year. So his whole idea for this new universe, I see what I did because he created the new universe in Marvel.
I see what he did there.
Was to have these few comics start off and then have a massive crossover. And he brought in a whole bunch of creators that he really liked from Marvel Comics. A couple of them, Kevin Van Hook, Don Perlin, and Bob Layton, create this character called Bloodshot. They basically take a Frankenstein monster scenario and update it to the modern times rather than getting rejuvenated with lightning and brought back to life. It is a series of cybernetic nanobots, right? Yeah. Which gives this former soldier a whole shitload of superpowers. Super strength and speed, stamina, reflexes, endurance. He has a healing factor. He's a master of hand-to-hand combat. He can shapeshift and has camouflage skills. They took two of the most popular characters from Marvel, Wolverine and Punisher, and mashed them up together to give us Bloodshot. And he was one of the central parts of the Valiant universe. And Valiant has undergone a number of different changes since the 90s. First, as it did get really popular and then peaked in popularity due to the speculation market of the 90s, which caused the Valiant to go out of business. Acclaim bottom out because they were looking for IP to make video games, and that ended up going tits up. And then another company has just started with Valiant, and the whole reason that they brought Valiant is because they wanted to use that IP for movies. And even though it sounds like the Bloodshot has just been designed to sell a movie or a video game, don't get me wrong, the comics for Bloodshot have always been, with the exception of that first run, pretty damn good. So, Josh, you were going to tell us about the comics, but I jumped in there. I saved your life. I am like a nanite.
You are like one of the billion nanites in Bloodshot system that constantly save him. Bloodshot has a variety of over the years, a couple of different backgrounds. So the first run, he was a ex-mafia enforcer who is killed – oh, goes into WITSEC first. And then is found by the mafias that have come up. They kill him, and they use that body to infuse with the nanites, and he comes back as Bloodshot, not knowing any of his history. And sort of that's sort of the genesis of the Frankenstein, where they take a person who was not a good person, who was a criminal, and he becomes well, I don't know if a force for good's the right one, but he becomes a soldier for supposedly as a force for good. And as he sort of gains his own personality and freedom, he becomes a better person than his body started out as. And then later on, of course, they switch sort of his background, and he's a soldier who dies in combat that they bring back. And the thing about Bloodshot really is that because the nanites are not only infused throughout his entire body, basically he has no blood. Everything in his system is a nanite. It also affects his gray matter, his brain, so they can give him false memories. They can reprogram him. They can wipe him. And so over the years, the personalities of Bloodshot can be sort of that many varied thing, because you never really know what is true for him and for the people around him. So he has a bunch of implanted memories. A lot of his family that he thinks he has family of is actually the evil scientist's high school yearbook. As he finds out, there's a lot of familiar faces, and basically the scientist takes from his high school. He's got a lot going on in that respect, and that gives the good thing for writers in that perspective is it gives them a lot of license to change the character and do just about whatever they want, because you never really know what's true for him or what has or has not really happened. But as the reader, sometimes that's also an irritant to me, because you never really have a character. So it really is, for me, an action comic where people can pretty much give – you know, can float in with stories in and out pretty much any way they want without disrupting any continuity, because there is no distinct continuity to the character, his life, or his thoughts and feelings.
In that regard, it is kind of open sandbox. You know, you can play around and do a lot of different things, which is one of the reasons I don't like the character that much, because I kind of like to follow an arc, and I especially like the hero's journey, and he's had the hero's journey. And then he hasn't. He has a different hero's journey, and it's kind of frustrating to me. Mike, you've given us some of the background, but do you have any favorite stories from that you like?
I'm a big fan of the latest versions. So anything from the probably the last 6 or 7 years of Valiant Comics has always been good. I'm a huge Jeff Lemire fan, so when Jeff Lemire took the helm of Bloodshot, took him in a different direction than he had been originally. But it's still, I thought it was a fairly good story, and he went in some crazy directions, you know, hunting a serial killer, going with a plague of nanites, turning it into a zombie comic, and then turning it into a Mad Max Fury Road kind of comic. He just went in whatever direction he felt like going with Bloodshot.
I just wanted to stop you for one quick second because, Tommy, when he said Jeff Lemire, your eyes lit up like you were talking about a high school sweetheart. You must have something to say on this. Tell us what you were thinking.
The Bloodshot Reborn series for Valiant is probably my favorite Bloodshot set, and it's Jeff Lemire's run. And it's, as Mike says, it's probably the earlier versions are probably the closest that you're going to find to a hero's journey in it, because in it, Geomancer had cured him of the nanites and removed them, and Bloodshot willingly took on the nanites again when serial killers were out killing using the nanites. Bloodshot took them back to prevent more people from getting hurt via the nanites. And it was kind of a hero's journey in that he did it to prevent more people from sort of needlessly getting killed because he thought he could control them instead of them being under Project Rising Spirit's control.
I just hope I someday find a woman that looks at me the way you looked at Mike when you said Jeff Lemire. That's all I have to say.
And I just want to throw on to that. They had a book called Bloodshot Island. That was one of the story arcs that Jeff Lemire did, where it showed Project Rising Spirit has been around for a long time, and they created a number of different prototype Bloodshots, including a dog Bloodshot, a guy from World War II, a Jewish soldier who volunteers to undergo the program. Have a black Bloodshot from the Vietnam era.
Not touching that.
He's called Viet Man. And they also have a Soviet Bloodshot called Cold Man. But anyway, they all get together and they're fighting off Deathmate, which is, if you read the original Valiant Comics, was a great throwback. But it's just an updated Super Bloodshot combined with the Geomancer's Force. But after that comic, there's a one-shot. So if you only want to read one Bloodshot comic, this is the one I'm going to recommend. It's called Bloodshot's Day Off, where it follows Tank Man, that Jewish soldier from World War II, and Viet Man, who get a day off. Who are allowed to go back to New York City years after they joined this Bloodshot program, and them dealing with the fallout of having given up basically their lives for the betterment of the country. And at the very end, I'm going to spoil it for you, even though I just recommended it. They're sitting in a bar drinking, and they hate each other. They really do hate each other. But they're the only people they know in New York that's still alive. And as they're sitting there talking, they're like, "Yeah, war took everything from us. You know, we've got nothing left." And the bartender goes over and says, "You know, you guys are fucking assholes. You're idiots. You guys think you're alone? I served two terms in Vietnam myself. Those guys over there at that table, they're back from a term in Afghanistan. You're never alone. You're one of our brothers." And I thought it was just a beautiful moment, which I've totally ruined if you were going to read that comic. So, fuck you, readers! Ha!
Yeah!
But it does speak to the brotherhood of being in the military. Tom, you can speak to that. Do you feel like when you talk to a fellow veteran, you have a little – instantly have a little something –
Absolutely. I was talking to somebody and I was trying to make small talk and it really wasn't working. And then they said, "Duh, you know, we haven't served this many meals since Fort Bliss." I'm like, "Fort Bliss, you son of a bitch. Fort Bliss is the devil's asshole. We both just threw our heads back and laughed. which is inappropriate in a soup kitchen I was working, but still. We just started talking about how awful Fort Bliss was, then we talked about other places we were. It really is a great thing when you find someone like that, like a fellow vet. I get a little uncomfortable when someone says something like, you know, thank for your service. It's nice. Some vets really love that. I didn't do that much, so I always feel a little uncomfortable. But when I meet a fellow vet and we can talk about the stupid things we did, I just love that. So that's going to be a great moment, and I'm looking forward to reading that Bloodshot One Shot. Bloodshot One Shot. Boo-doo-ba-doo. Bloodshot One Shot. Boo-doo-ba-doop. I have to admit, though, I never really read a ton of Bloodshots. It wasn't really in my wheelhouse at the time. I read one or two, and I just couldn't quite get hooked because they kept changing the backstory.
Well, if you have not seen the Bloodshot movie yet, I'm going to throw this out there. Spoilers, spoilers, spoilers. I'm about to spoil the shit out of it.
Is this your new alter ego, the spoiler?
Yeah.
Spoiler.
All right. Mike's alter ego, the spoiler, is about to come on. If you don't want to fight the spoiler, don't listen. Go ahead, spoiler.
Alrighty. So, see, there's a movie, right? And Vin Diesel gets offered this role of Bloodshot, and he's like, I'll do it as long as I can just have a lot of cool action scenes. And they're like, perfect. Do you got a script? Don't need a script.
Keep going. I love this accent.
The special effects are phenomenal. I can't believe the movie only cost $45 million because they had to spend about $40 million in special effects. And it pays off in dividends, brothers. That's what I'll tell you. If you like special effects and you like action movies, this is the movie for you. If you want a coherent plot, I got bad news. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm a kidder. No, so seriously. Actually, there's a lot of problems with the script. I'm not going to lie. There's a lot of problems. It's very close to the comic books. The problem is they take the stuff they like from the comics but don't add anything that makes it interesting. I'll give you a few highlights. Like I said, other than the visual effects, which are phenomenal, at one point, the tech genius says, hey, you know what? You were a 3 before, now you're an 18. Why do they say that? Because Vin Diesel plays Dungeons and Dragons, and he wanted a 3 to 18 because he listens to this fucking podcast. I know you do, Vin. I know you do. And he wanted to make Tom happy. And that's about all he would do to make Tom happy, because the rest of the script is not very good. The character of Bloodshot has become so unbeatable, there are no stakes. At no point do you think, oh, the hero is in danger of losing this fight, which makes it hollow. I don't need to see him kill a whole bunch of guys. It does nothing. It's just,
I need it.
I can't keep on talking like
they
that.
They made this movie for Tom.
They did make the movie for Tom.
This movie for Tom. I don't mind an unbeatable good guy or bad guy. You have to show some flaws, or like you said, the stakes do become kind of low.
Yeah, that's the main problem with it, right? And they give him a whole bunch of false memories that they don't really need to give him the false memories for. Like, there's a whole love interest that they bring in, which isn't necessary. There's a lot of problems with the story, but it's apparent that they were using this to build a larger universe, which was the plan. They were originally going to do a Harbinger movie first, and then do a Bloodshot, and then do a Unity crossover, a big event. They decided not to go that route. They instead went with Bloodshot first. I don't know if this is going to kill the universe. It was a $45 million movie. It made $25 million that first week at the box office. But that may sound bad, but there was only $55 million in ticket sales that week. So it was almost half of everybody who went to you know, commit suicide did go see Bloodshot. I'm just kidding. I'm a kidder.
I actually didn't see a movie that weekend. I went and saw something terrible.
Yeah, the Ben Affleck movie.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, I went and saw Bloodshot with my daughter.
Damn it. You win. You win this time, spoiler. By the way, what was the name of that sled?
Rosebud?
Damn it, spoiler! You got me again!
Bruce Willis is dead!
What? Stop it! Stop it! You're killing me!
It's all in modern times.
I saw... and, you know, the first time I saw Bloodshot, it was a crossover with another Valiant. And I thought the character was interesting. And then I read a few, and like I said, I just couldn't quite get hooked into it. Josh, I think you're kind of in the same boat here. You sound like you just didn't like that up and down. How many Bloodshots have you actually read?
I mean, I circled back and read – I mean, I read some of them in the early 90s and was like, because I wasn't a big Punisher fan. And that's sort of the storyline didn't really draw me in right away. And then I gave it another shot when it sort of the relaunch in like 2012. Yeah. And I think I got like 10 or 15 issues in. And that launch started out really good. I think every time they do his origin, it's good. Like the way they replay it. But then once you fall into it becoming a regular monthly book, it drops off and they don't know what to do with him. He's just a guy without a past and it starts to fall apart. There's just no good, compelling story going onwards. But every time they relaunch it, I read it and I'm like, oh, and this is and it's good until it becomes, you know, until they get into something that's not his backstory and then it falls apart.
Monster of the Week is not his thing.
Yeah.
Well, because they never do Monster of the Week, right? It's always just him fighting Project Rising Spirit.
Yeah.
And them trying to control him. Or it's him fighting normal people. Like it's never really a thing where you're worried that something bad is going to happen to him. And even if it does, he's got such a non-personality in a lot of the comic books that it's hard to develop any kind of empathy for him.
Yeah.
So it sounds like maybe he could use more of a personality, more stakes in the game, and maybe move to Monster of the Week or something that we are more recognizable as an actual hero comic book.
Yeah, I think what would really help the book is if he had a sidekick, and what they really did was they focused the emotional storylines through the sidekick, right? He needs his his cue, right? Someone who like sets up the mission, says that, and they just need somebody consistent for them to run the rational storylines through. Oh. And keep Bloodshot as sort of like just the action, like basically a weapon of the main character, but Bloodshot as the character. And I think they could do a lot in that direction, but they never do. They never keep people around them to do that with. So, I mean, and then when they put him in other comics, once again, he's just, you know, he's just a murder machine. With no real connection to the people he's meeting, so it doesn't really go anywhere with crossovers either, except as just he's basically a gun of flesh and blood, you know.
Murder hobo.
He's a murder hobo.
Yeah. All right. Put it in the most succinct Dungeons and Dragons terms that we know, people. Murder hobo. I'd buy that comic.
Also, he doesn't have any other villains other than Project Rising Spirit.
I was about to ask. There's no real rogues gallery to you know. Start enjoying. I mean, we enjoy some of our bad guys in some other comic books. I get, you know, I don't have to say it, but you know how excited I get when I see Arcade pop up. And Mike, you get very excited when you see Stiltman pop up. If Bloodshot just kills all his rogues in his rogue gallery, it's kind of hard to feel something for, you know, he has no Kite Man.
No Kite Man.
No Kite Man.
And I think they could solve that problem if they gave him a real backstory where he is actually trying to, you know, has a stake in the game. Even if he's indestructible, you know, in the Jeff Lemire run, he falls in love with a girl, and that gives him stakes in the game. Like, he has to worry about her. Later on, it's his daughter, you know, that he has to worry about. So there's a really good storyline where he goes to Vegas and it's a bunch of psyops who are being hunted by the Harda Foundation, and he decides he's going to protect the children. So him as the protector is actually a very good role for him. They just don't use it enough.
I like that, but it feels funny for us to be saying that they should use the girl in the refrigerator more for him.
That does, yeah.
It does ring untrue, but I mean, that's what we're
saying. Until you develop a personality for him, you have to give some sort of emotional stake somehow.
Right, that's why he needs the weapons. He needs the man behind the screen.
The guy in the chair, yeah.
Yeah, he needs the guy in the chair.
And that would be good if his
taskmaster.
That would be good if he didn't control the nanites. If he had a guy in the chair who had to activate the different things, then you have a whole bunch of complications. His communication gets cut off. Something like that.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember a crazy movie called Officer Down?
Vaguely.
Is that with Richard Gere in a porn?
No. That's a totally done for movie.
Well, that's officer and a gentleman down. Okay.
Yeah, officer and a gentleman down. And you're also thinking of that because we watched it as a double feature with Deep Into Jeff.
Yeah.
Heavy Into Jeff.
Heavy Into Jeff. Officer Down was a character much like Bloodshot. He was an officer that was killed, brought back to life. But there were psychics instead of nanites keeping him alive. And if one of the psychics got burned out because he had used too much power to keep Officer Down, D-O-W-N-E, alive through a mission, that psychic burned down. He got a little less power, and sometimes they'd have to replace these psychics.
And that movie was interesting. It was a little more interesting. It was very interesting, and then not so interesting.
And then what did you watch? Then we'll watch Heavy Into Jeff. One of the best stand-ups I've ever seen. Kevin Nealon, you masterful genius. Any last words, LT? You've been kind of quiet on this, and I know you kind of like Valiant Comics.
No, I mean, I agree with Mike. You know, when he had somebody to protect, and like I said, you know, when he had the kids to protect, it reminded me a lot like the Logan movie. Once again, showing that they were kind of like ripping off the Wolverine character, or paying homage to the Wolverine character, because it was very similar to that idea.
I think ripping off might be closer. Well, actually, probably not because, you know, timelines.
Yeah.
Mike, any last words?
Yep.
All right, then. Let's go to the front of the long box. Mike, what do you got at the front of the long box for me this week?
At the front of the long box, I have Flash Forward, a 6-issue miniseries starring Wally West, the fastest man. Wally is the fastest, right, LT?
Oh, yeah.
I recommended a series that turned out not to like called Heroes in Crisis. If you haven't read that, it's kind of a tough read for a Wally West fan. Wally, suffering from PTSD, freaks out and ends up accidentally sort of killing everybody at Sanctuary and then goes into the future, kills his future self to leave that body. So it looks like somebody had also killed him. Really weird. It kind of throws this great character, Wally West, on the trash pile of history. This is their attempt to reclaim him and make him a hero again, and it fails miserably. Do not read Flash Forward. The only thing it does establish is that Wally West is now the new Metron. He found the Mobius chair and is sitting in it, and because his brain is so fast, he can have multiple thoughts at one, and he's the only one who can actually maintain the chair. So he has now become a new god. There you go. I've saved you all the trouble of reading that 6-issue series. You're welcome.
Damn it, spoiler! You got us again! You disguised your voice!
Again. That's right! You didn't even see it coming! I told you I was going to flash forward, but you didn't even know I was going to reveal the ending! How could you not? I'm the spoiler!
Spoiler! I'm enjoying this new character.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob Tech pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Tommy, what do you got at the back of the long box for me, pal?
I have Hawkman number 26.
Of course you do.
Spoiler, Hawkman number 27 follows it.
God damn it, spoiler! This is by art by Dick Dillon and Chuck K. Pedera.
You love Dick.
And this is a story, this is a classic Hawkman story where the Thanagar fleet was being attacked by Ilda, and they knew the Thanagar's plans at every turn, and it was found out that supposedly Kaitar Hull was a traitor, and Kaitar Hull had to break off and clear his name, and of course he wasn't a traitor, and one of his Absorbicon was stolen, and that's why they thought he was a traitor, and really there was an ancient artifact that could stop the Ilda fleet that Kaitar Hull's museum had purchased months ago, and he was able to retrieve it from the museum and save the day. And it was a pretty good classic old story that's available on the DC app. But I bring this to your attention because, and Josh, you're going to be with me on this, in the back of this story, sometimes they would throw together these like one or two page like extra things in the back of these old stories. And in the back of this Hawkman story, just imagine the Rocket Lanes of Tomorrow. And in it, God damn it, they're promising us jetpacks. They're promising us jetpacks right here.
Those sons of bitches.
What year was this comic book published, Tommy?
It was published back in the 60s. Perhaps not everyone will be able to afford a rocket mobile, but everyone will own a set of portable jets, inexpensive rocket tubes strapped to one's shoulders, which will enable the wearer to soar leisurely aloft at medium speeds.
Are you sure you're reading that right? Are you sure it doesn't say no toilet paper?
At a medium pace?
Look, this is 1968, and I will defend this comic because they do have jetpacks all over the place. Just fucking read any Adam Strange book, and you will see the jetpack.
Yeah.
So they weren't lying. It was just on Thanagar is where they're going to have the rocket packs.
Yeah, we're supposed to have jetpacks by now. We can't even keep toilet paper on the shelves.
They promised us jetpacks.
They did develop the self-lacing Nikes, though.
They did. They did. I watched a special on that. Thank you for recommending that to me, by the way, Mike. That was actually pretty good.
Yeah, so if you're going to see that special, you don't need to.
No.
God damn it, spoiler.
I'm going to take a quick minute and talk about civil rights and social justice movements as reflected in comic books this week, and go to my segment I call Nice Try, Asshole.
Potty mouth.
So the New Warriors is coming out soon, and Josh put a link to something that I had to read and immediately wanted to bleach my own eyes out. Josh, do you remember what the names of the new heroes are?
Let's see. It's Snowflake.
Snowflake.
I can't remember the other side.
Safe Space.
God.
There's a vampire type character who may or may not have AIDS named B Positive.
Oh, God.
You pricks. And last but not least, Trailblazer, who has a magic backpack. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm intrigued by the magic backpack. Something about a magic backpack is kind of cool. I'm sorry. I always want to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. I really do. But these characters sound like they were made up by a right-wing radio host who was making fun of the left-wing. I mean, doesn't that sound like what they're saying here? You're calling a superhero Snowflake and another one named Safe Space? And by the way, Snowflake is one of the first gender fluid characters they've ever introduced, and they're calling them Snowflake. I just think it brings not just tone deaf, but willingly ambivalent to the taste of their audience at this time. We don't need people making fun of gender neutral people in society. We don't need people making fun of asexuals. We don't need people making fun of queers. There's already plenty of those. It's covered. They're out there. We don't need more. So unless you take a huge swing to a different direction, I'm really thinking these characters are probably not going to be what we need right now. Does anyone have any hope to give me about these characters?
Who does this get past?
Yeah.
What modern company does this from this concept to release into the public world, where multiple eyes of a company that is supposed to be on the
side of the angels
in the birthplace of Chris Claremont and the X-Men, how does this get past the editors into the world? I just do it. It is so beyond me. It's unbelievable.
Especially right now, because right now I want to save space.
Actually, save space might be this hero we need. But I'm sure it's as tone deaf as it sounds. Show this comic book to any millennial out there, and I'm sure they tell you the same thing.
So you forgot Screen Time.
Oh, screen time. That's the other one. Yes. Yeah.
There was an accident, What was the – it was like a gas or mutagenic gas that makes them – connected
to a human meme. I don't know.
Exactly. It actually makes them into someone who can only communicate through memes or something. Screen time. Maybe I willfully forgot screen time.
God.
Look, guys, I actually feel bad that you're trying so hard and failing so badly. But
this reminds me of the New Guardians debacle.
Yes. Go ahead, Mike.
With the Hemogoblin.
Yes. Good God.
Which was a vampire created to help a white supremacy group eliminate non-whites who would bite people and give them AIDS.
Yeah. The Hemogoblin. Actually, not a bad villain. I mean, at least we're villainizing the spread of AIDS. But tone deaf and awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of comic books out there, and I do want to give some credit for trying. You know, you're trying to make characters people can identify, but you just missed so bad.
Maybe we should give it the benefit of the doubt. I mean, we haven't read it.
And it's true.
We should not be jumping to judgments already just because of the names. Perhaps they're fighting the forces of MAGA, and you can figure out whatever MAGA you want to stand for. I mean, this sounds like what they're doing, right? One of their major enemies could be the Fox or the new Fox.
You know, I even said that I wrote something on Twitter today. I always try, and I even said at the beginning of this rant, I always want to give the benefit of the doubt, but this rings is so tone deaf, just so very tone deaf, so nail on the head. It really sounds like someone wrote this to make fun of people who are into the social justice warrior scheme. Tiki Torture would be another good bad guy.
Oh, Tiki Torturer.
Oh, Tiki Torturer. He tortures you with a Tiki Torch.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
This is writing itself. Hey, Marvel, if you want us to write the new Warriors,
yeah, we're in.
We got time.
The Clean Brigade. They wear white sheets, but only because they really like the way it looks.
And they hate minorities.
That's secondary. We really like secondary. The look.
It's a look thing.
It's a look thing first.
We hate dirt.
I'm just hoping that racism gets totally erased by this the coronavirus, because after 10 weeks of being cooped up, let's just hug it out, guys. I don't care who you are. Just, come on, bring it in. Come on. I know what happened last month. It's fine. Come here. I hope you all hug it out at the end of this.
Don't touch me. Now there's their opportunity. It hasn't come out yet, so they could add the social distancer in the comic.
That's right.
Yeah. That's a little tangential to what we were talking about. Speaking of tangents, my good friend Josh, got a tangent for this week?
Yeah, so once again, I've kicked into DM mode. If you could take one minor magic item, which minor magic item are you taking?
Josh, which one would I take?
You'd take a bag of holding. No, you would take the pipes of sewers.
Pipes of the sewer, my fucking favorite magic item of all time. What, I command a fucking swarm of rats? Goddamn right, I command a fucking swarm of rats. I am obsessed with the pipes of the sewer. By far, my favorite. If I get to pick a magic item, I always pick that. if they like you get like an ancient relic from the past, and like I know what it's gonna fucking be. It's not that powerful. I like that, and I like the Horn of Fog. My two favorite. If I get them both, I'm all powerful.
Initially, I was going to say Bag of Holding, but then I thought about it. Decanter of Endless Water.
That is a good one. I always liked a good decanter of endless water.
Roll of endless toilet paper right now, guys. Come on now.
Geyser.
Oh, yeah, you got a bidet going. That's fine. I forgot. Tommy, you're not a huge Dungeons & Dragons player, but can you use your imagination?
Well, I'm pretty sure that that iPod on the first season of Iron Fist, I'm pretty sure that's what allowed him to make the Iron Fist.
You know what, buddy? I love shitting on everything you do and say, but I'm going to give that a big thumbs up because that's awesome. You get a magic iPod. It's got a limited space, and it never breaks down. That's what you
breaks
get.
Breaks down, and it allows you to make the Iron Fist.
And it charges once per year for 10 minutes. You go you. You do you. What about and you can charge it with the Iron Fist.
You charge it with the Iron Fist.
Josh, what do you got, buddy?
The immovable rod. I love an immovable rod.
That's awesome.
There are so many things you could do in D&D with the immovable rod. And in the real world, I would just love me an immovable rod.
It's so good for practical jokes. You just hang it up 5 feet up.
Yeah.
Chase stuck under it. Blunk.
Love me the immovable rod.
How useful is an immovable rod in a car chase? I could change so many movies. The French Connection would have been over like 3 minutes if I had an immovable rod.
What's that in the middle of the road?
Fast and the Furious never would have made it past the second Fast and the Furious.
Yeah. Just would have been Furious.
The Fast and the that would have been it. Tokyo Drift. All right, I guess that brings us to plugs, guys.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can check him out at kirbycracklemusic.com. And I'd also like to say hi and recommend our fellow podcasters out there. If you are maybe home looking for something to do, go check out our friends who podcast, Seth and the boys over at whosnextgaming.com. We'll have a link to all of their podcasts. If you're interested in video games, movies, and comic books, and sex robots, that's the place to go. And, of course, our friend Cheryl Jones, she just ended her 5-year run on Movies Made Me podcast. She is now going to be starting a new podcast called The Core 4 Pod. So if you go to the core4pod.com, you'll find a link to her new podcast. Don't do it now because it's not out yet. She's taking a few weeks off to before she starts it up again.
Do we know what the new one is about?
So it's like her Movies Made Me podcast, but instead of focusing on 5 movies that made a person, she's going to a book, a TV show, a movie, and either a musician or a song.
Oh, so our format.
Yeah, well, we stole the idea from her, and she's now, you know, reclaimed it.
I see how it's going to be.
All right.
Speaking of our format, if you're interested in hearing any of our secret origins where we do something very similar to that, go to our YouTube channel. Just search for the Long Box Guys.
Secret origins.
Secret origins.
And there's also something else I would recommend. It's called The Geek Leak. What is The Geek Leak, Josh?
The Geek Leak is our weekly extra podcast for our Patreon-only listeners. You can find us at longboxguys@patreon.com. And just for $1 a month, you can get an extra.
$1?
Almost four podcasts a month for 25 cents a piece. It is the bargain of the year, and you get to listen to us talk about what we are excited about in the world of geekdom every week without fail.
That sounds like a pretty good deal.
Somebody better ride back to town and give me a shit ton of nickels because I'm subscribing to this.
And that's our Blazing Saddles reference for the week. Everyone drink. Blazing
Can you
Saddles.
Believe it?
Can you believe it? Damn it, Tim. Beat me to it by seconds.
I can believe it.
The spoiler strikes again.
Damn it, spoiler. Oh, I'm totally buying that t-shirt, Mike. Just you shaking your fist. The spoiler gotcha. I gotcha. Tommy, anything to plug, buddy?
Well, it's not too late, or probably won't be too late to get yourself in on the Kickstarter for friend of the podcast, Christopher Burdett's The Grand Bazaar of Ithra Vandalia. That ends on March 30th. 2020, so go and get yourself in on that Kickstarter, because that is bound to be a great book.
Looks beautiful. I looked at the Kickstarter the other day. Even the coloring book looks cool.
Yeah. Yeah, his art is fantastic, so it's bound to be a great book. And also, I'd like to plug GeekOrthodox.com.
GeekOrthodox.com!
GeekOrthodox.com!
Hello, Timmy.
GeekOrthodox.com, purveyor of fine t-shirts and other geeky things such as stained glass prints, Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses, socks, prints, you name it, they got it.
So all that'll right. do it for us.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, what do I always say?
What you always say is, this is like drunk history, but for comics. Yeah, damn it, spoiler.
I want to get on the spoiling game. Sorry.
And LT, I see you're in a closet underneath a staircase. Is that your sector or Harry Potter's?
It's my sector.
And Josh, you have any words of wisdom for us?
No.
Well, and Mike?
I think you should not diss what you hate. Just promote what you love, and you'll live a lot longer. And we love you.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Tom was going to say that, but I spoiled it. Yeah, the spoiler.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
And I'll be spoiling it again next week on The Long Box, guys.
Great episode, guys. LT, you sucked.